Let's start with prayer. Our Lord God and Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you do for us. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning and to worship you. We thank you for being able to be before you and hearing from you. So, Father, as we read your word, I just ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit and touch each person here. Draw each one of us closer to you. Let each one of us get something out of this message that will draw us closer to you, that draw us closer to Jesus. That's what it's all about, Father. We thank you so much, and like I said, we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read out of Hebrews today. Is that too loud, or is that... Okay. I want to read out of Hebrews today. You know, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And I want to explain it a little better, but I want to read some Hebrews before we get there. You know, God gave the law to the Israelites through Moses, and that was how they were supposed to live. The law was something very hard to live up to. I mean, there's a lot of rules and regulations and a lot of things that he asked the Israelites to do. They had to do sacrifices and all kinds of stuff. And I want to read some of it. It says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So even so, the Israelites had the law and all the rules and regulations. That's not what saved them. But God asked them to follow the law. That was, and the whole thing was, it's like, here's the law, this is how I want you to live. You're not going to be able to, but I'm going to show you a way that you can still come to me, even so you can't live like this. So let's go on. Like it says, the law didn't make you perfect. In verse 2, it says, otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. So he's saying, if the law could make you perfect and the sacrifices can take care of your sin, hey, you'd no longer be guilty for sin. But people were still guilty for sin because the law can't take away the sin. So what did it do then? Well, verse 3, it says, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. So the law shows us what wrong is. It shows us what we're not supposed to do or what he would rather us not do. There's another way of saying it. So it says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So that would mean, if that's all there is, we'd all be lost, including the Israelites. If all the sacrifices they did didn't save them, and if anything we do doesn't save us, because our sacrifices, if we were to make some, wouldn't save us either, we'd all be hopelessly lost. That'd be awful. And if we were all hopelessly lost, I might as well just shut this thing off and go home, because me talking to you wouldn't really do any good. But let's read verse 5. Because God, being the God that he is, he fixed this. So since the sacrifices weren't going to get anybody into heaven, weren't going to save anybody, God says, okay, I'm going to come up with a way because I love these people. It's all about God loving us. He wants us to be with him. And if he didn't love us, he could have just said, yeah, okay, I'll just go home. I mean, he is already home, but you know what I mean. So, but let's read. It says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. So Jesus said the same thing. I said, hey, you know, the sacrifices really didn't do any good. They were just a reminder of the fact that you were doing wrong, but they didn't really do it. So Let's read some more. It says, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to you, come to do your will, my God. So Jesus says, you know, hey, I came to this earth to do God's will because God wanted me to come to earth and I agreed to it. And I came to this earth to do his will. And it says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. So it's like, I'm going to have you do these sacrifices that you remember that you're in sin, but that's not really going to fix anything. And it says right here, though they were offered in accordance with the law, you know, even, that is what they needed to do. But then it says, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. So Jesus says, okay, I came to this earth because God asked me to come here, and I agreed to it. And me coming to this earth does away with the first covenant and establishes the second covenant. Now he says, here I am. The law is now set aside. And verse 10, it says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That is the perfect sacrifice. Jesus came to this earth, and his sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice. It was not the same sacrifice as bulls and goats and all that. So a one-time sacrifice from Jesus made it all perfect. And it says in verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And who's being made holy? Are we being made holy? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus came to this earth, like it says here in Hebrews? Do you believe that he paid the price for our sin? You know, he did this by being nailed to a cross. He died and rose 3 days later. Do you believe that? If you believe that, this verse 14 applies to you. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. God wants to make you holy. That's what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. For he says, this is a covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So if you know Jesus, it says here, if you know Jesus, God's going to put the law on your hearts. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that lying's wrong? I bet every person here knows that lying's wrong. That stealing is wrong. That cheating on your wife is wrong. I mean, we know what's right and wrong. God does put it on our hearts. And not just Christians, even non-Christians know a lot of what's right and wrong. But it says right there, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. So if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, yeah, you should read the Bible and you should study the Word to get to know God better and better, because it'll draw you closer to Him and you will understand Him better and all that. But the basic right and wrongs, you already know. They're right there. And it says in the next verse, and this is the part that I like, because you know, we always get worried. You know, when we do wrong, it is harder for us to forgive for ourselves than it is for God to forgive us. There's stuff that I hang on to that it comes up, you know, like, man, I did this 30 years ago, and I'm still thinking about it once in a while. I can't believe it. Look here what God does with your sin. It says, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Wow, ain't that great? So when you come to know Jesus as your Savior and you come before him, God says, we're starting over. This is all gone. Anything you did wrong, it's all gone. It's forgiven. Jesus done paid the price. But even better yet, besides the stuff that you did in the past being forgiven, I'm going to forgive everything in your future too. You're forgiven because you're my child and I love you. Isn't that awesome? It says in verse 18, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So we no longer have to worry about sacrifices. But we look at God and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for forgetting my sins. You know, if he doesn't remember your sins, isn't it awesome? Because when we come to God at the white throne judgment, as they call it, you know, when it's all over and God comes to judge the world and we will be in front of God, he's not going to sit there and point out everything you did wrong and go, okay, you did all this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. Over here, you did this right and you did this right. So if this balances out, you're going to heaven. A lot of people believe that's how it works. I thank God from the bottom of my heart that it ain't like that. Because he done forgot all your sin. What he's going to look at is, how did you live? Did you live for me? And if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, I believe we probably did. You may not live as good for him as you want to, but if you make an effort, you can get better at that. One thing about God, E for effort does count. That's the only place it really counts. So what's in conclusion? I'm going to read verse 19 through 22 in conclusion. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. In other words, we can come to God because of what Jesus did. And by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, which where that's referencing to is the fact that he died for us. That opened the curtain to let us in to the Holy of Holies to come talk to God. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, which again is talking about Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And what's the point I'm trying to make with that? When you draw near to God, you can be free from guilt because you're washed 100% clean. Not 99.9. It's not, you know, you are washed 100% clean. It starts all over. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, and if you don't totally understand it, maybe come talk to me or talk to someone that knows about Jesus. Because you don't know how many chances you get. But if you're already ready to make a step forward and say, Jesus, I want you in my life as my Lord and Savior, or maybe you've already done it and he's your Lord and Savior, but you don't feel this applies, just remember, God's is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And his promises never change, and these promises are guaranteed. You know, when I came to know Jesus, we were at a Bible study, me and my wife, and she accepted Jesus as our Savior at the Bible study. And on the way home, I'm all quiet and stuff, and she's like, man, what you're being all quiet for? I'm like, well, I think I should have done that. I needed that. So we get home, and we actually got on the phone, called the pastor that was leading the Bible study, and I accepted Jesus right there on the phone. And the funny people make fun of me because we got on I think it was like the camera was the next week or something. We were there just to make sure I did it again. And I was like, yeah, just in case the phone didn't work, I'll try this again. The one thing about receiving the Lord as your Savior, it changes you. Now, there wasn't no miraculous change in me. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was acting totally different or anything like that. But as the days passed, things started changing. I started acting different. I started talking different. I used to call myself a functioning alcoholic because I didn't go to meetings and I could work every day. But I loved my alcohol back in those days. And God just took it away. All of a sudden, I didn't care to drink no more. And just things like that started changing. And he started making me a different person. And when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he'll do the same thing to you. He will change you. If you don't change, I would have to say, you better make sure that you truly did that. But God will change you and make you the person that you need to be. And then that last little sentence that I read, I'm going to read it one more time, if I can get there on my paper. When you draw near to God, we can be free from guilt because we will be washed 100% clean. That's what we got to remember. And with that, I'd like to close. Our God and Father, we love you. We thank you so much for everything that you do. We thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins that we can't pray. We just love you so much. And we just ask that you'd be with every person here. Draw them closer to you. The ones that don't know you, stir their heart to where they might want to come to know you. We can't force them. I can't talk them into anything. But the Holy Spirit, that's who can draw them, Father God. So we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we just ask that you let us have a good day racing. Keep everyone safe, Father God. And make sure everybody stays in one piece. Has a good time, Father.